Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Please consider supporting Black Women United, YEG, for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United, YEG, for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Creative control, creative control. Comedy, art, and sometimes rock and roll. Let's do a public opinion poll. Raise your hand if you love creative control. 'Cause when Vish is unleashed, well, you... Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. I was just working on a tribute song to my favorite podcast, Creative Control, with Vish Khanna. My name is Matthias, and I play in a band called The Burning Hell, but more importantly, I support Creative Control on Patreon, and I think you should too. Quality long-form arts journalism is like a magical talking unicorn. It definitely exists, but it can be really hard to find. Fortunately for us, Vish makes it easy with hundreds of funny, thought-provoking, well-researched, and engaging interviews with artists from all over the world. Your flexible monthly donation on Patreon will get you plenty of special exclusive treats and help Vish keep his podcast well-fed and cared for properly, the way a magical unicorn deserves.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Amor, 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 era o que eu tinha para ti. Amor, 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 era o que eu tinha para ti.
Nico Paulo is a brilliant Portuguese-Canadian songwriter, singer, and musician currently based in St. John's, Newfoundland. Born in Toronto, Paulo was raised just outside of Lisbon before moving to Canada with her family and eventually immersing herself in Toronto's music community as a young adult. She's now proudly repping Eastern Canada and receiving lots of love in return. On April 7th, 2023, Forward Music released Paulo's self-titled debut album, which critics and fans have raved about, and it was placed on the long list for this year's Polaris Music Prize in Canada. During and ahead of some extensive touring, Nico and I connected for a lovely talk about things like sleeping in yurts, her family's Portuguese heritage and unique relationship with Canada, how window shutters can tell you if someone wants to hang out or not, the educational value of learning cover songs and the mysteries of the guitar, how love and romance mean more than we think, speaking Portuguese, French, and English, water and Julie Duaron, road work, new songs, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners just like you who follow and subscribe to this donor-driven podcast and spread the word about it. And also make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol. That is the primary source of revenue for all the work that I put into making this show, and I appreciate all the support I get. So if you can, head over to my Patreon and support Creative Control today. Thank you. With additional support from Blackbird Music, a wonderful record store with bricks and mortar locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, and very friendly people who work there, they'll help you. You go in there, they'll help you. You know what else you can do is you can order things right from their website, blackbird.ca. Say you want the new Nico Paolo record. Just go to blackbird.ca, look it up, see if you can get it sent to your house. They'll ship it to you. It's just that simple. For more info, again, blackbird.ca. Plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 792 of Creative Control, featuring the warm and esteemed Nico Paolo with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Nico. How are you?
Hi, Vish. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much. It's very nice to connect with you in this way. Where in the world are you today?
I'm actually just started tour. Left St. John's, Newfoundland. That's where I'm based, and I'm in central Newfoundland right now in this yurt lodge. And I just slept in a yurt for the first time last night, which is amazing.
Oh, well, that's nice. What's it like in a yurt? I don't think I've ever been in a yurt. What's it like in there?
It's these very beautiful, these are made out of felt, like wool felt. They're like very new, and they look very like, I would say, like Nordic. Like the color of the wood is just light enough, and the color of the texture of the wool is also a light color. So and it's very cozy inside. There's this like one opening at the top. It's like a circle, and we arrived pretty late last night. It was like 10 p.m. So it was kind of wonderful to wake up to like a lot of light. But last night before bed, all I could see was this like glowing circle, and it's kind of overcast, so it was perfect.
It's kind of funny. So it's like just open. There's no like, if it's cold, if it's hot, it doesn't matter. There's just a hole in the roof.
No, it has like a dome kind of window. That you can open, but it was drizzly, so we had it closed. And it's kind of cool, you know. Newfoundland is a cool island in general.
Oh yes, yes. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I used to come to Newfoundland quite a bit, at least once a year for the Lanyard Festival.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I used to between like 2013 and I want to say 2017 or something like that. I was there almost once a year, so I quite enjoy it. But and I remember it being, it was always in when's Lanya Vanya, in May? No,
yeah,
April?
It's May? Changed. It has changed a little bit through the years because of weather. They keep pushing it closer to the summer,
right?
But May just happened here,
right?
So
did you play at it this year?
I did. I actually did.
Nice.
I played at Cochrane Church, now First Light, and it was lovely. It's just a beautiful venue, and the acoustics are so wonderful. And I had a full band and more. It was like one extra musician, Lucas Rose, playing lap steel. So it was very interesting.
Oh, lovely. That's great. Well, I mean, I want to ask you more about the yurt because I'm fascinated about it, but I'm gonna leave it behind because I want to get into you and your work. Unless you have more to say about your yurt experience. My only real question actually is, you're going on tour, and this is, I think you said, the first night. Are you planning to mostly stay in yurts and tents or anything like that? Or is this a one-off? Is this just an anomaly?
This was a one-off. I mean, maybe I'll be surprised in the next month, in the next little bit. But so far, this is the only yurt. We really wanted to come check this out. This is my partner's uncle just opened this like lodge hostel kind of vibe. And there's four yurts, and we wanted to come and check it out because it's always exciting to have new projects happening in the island, and new things to check out, new areas, yeah, new coves, new around the bay. You know, you go and there's just, Newfoundland is just so, it's still kind of a mystery to me. You know, I keep finding more and more about it. Yeah.
So you
should come. You should come with your family and stay here sometime.
In the yurt?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
My God.
Okay. I think my wife is fascinated by yurts. I haven't really explored it too much because I'm a computer person. I like to be talking to people on the computer all the time. No, I'm not really, but I am. I do want to check out the yurts. Before we leave the yurt completely behind, though, are you playing a show near the yurt, in the yurt? Are you playing near there, or is this just because you're traveling and you needed somewhere to stop?
Yes, this is kind of like a halfway through the island. So it's four. I had a bad back and I was like, I can't do an 8-hour drive. I need to stop somewhere. I mean, not really. We made this plan long ago. We kind of wanted to just like make the driving kind of lighter and visit some people that are not just strangers and new friends that are also older family members, or I don't know. I find that touring this way is just so much easier.
Yeah.
Because I'm still new at it, but I love chatting with anyone. So
yeah. Well, you are new at it, I guess, but you're doing very well. Congratulations on this new album.
Thank you.
It's your debut, right? This is your first record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First LP. Yeah.
Good for you. No, that's great. I want to get at something you were saying about exploring Newfoundland. That to me, and I know this for a fact, that you're relatively new to Newfoundland. How long have you been there?
It's been 3 years now, shortly. Moved in 2020, a couple months after the pandemic was getting more and more agonizing, and coming here was just a solution at the time. And it was just safer, and I was working remotely, doing some design work, and music wasn't really happening, and I had just released the EP, and I was a bit bummed. I was like, oh, I wish I could just go play, but then I was like, I can't. So, maybe I'll just keep writing new stuff, and then I did. It was just kind of nice.
So, did you know people in Newfoundland, or did you just pick a random spot on the Canadian map?
My partner at the time, he's from here, originally from St. John's. He's a townie, and he had a house, and he was just wondering what that would look like if we moved here for just the summer. At the time, we were, so everyone was hopeful that COVID was just going to be something super temporary. So the idea was we still had our place in Toronto, because that's where I was based before, for 7 years. So moving here was just like, okay, summertime, let's do it. It's safer. We can still be creative, connect with his family, and make new friends, and then I fell in love with it and with everybody, and I wanted to stay.
Right.
And then I did.
Oh, good.
And we both stayed. Yeah.
That's great. Now, in my personal experience, Toronto, Ontario, and St. John's, Newfoundland, very different speeds as cities, I would say. Did you like living in Toronto?
I did.
Right.
I think... I had like 7 years there. I feel like the last 3 years I was already kind of exhausted out, because I didn't grow up in a big city. And so I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to move somewhere where I can stretch a little more and just be a bit more comfortable outside. And, you know, I just find it I love Toronto and I love what it offers. I find it's a great city to connect with others. And I discovered so much about myself and about the world moving there at 21. And I had the history of my parents living there in the 80s early 90s. Yeah. And I was born in Toronto. There's all these connections that I can't deny. Oh. So I do love that city. Yeah, you didn't know that?
Well, I wasn't sure. You say you were born in Toronto, but you only lived there for 7 years. So I'm just trying to, we're doing a little bit of an origin story recap here. So I'm just trying to follow the chronology. I know you're not 10 years old. I think you're older than that. So no. I'm just trying to map.
I think I am 10 years old Canadian,
Right.
12.
Okay, see?
Really, 12. So, because
you see what I'm saying? You were born in Toronto, but you're new to Newfoundland. You're relatively new to Toronto. So the obvious question, I suppose, and I'm sorry I interrupted you, but the obvious question is, what brought you to Toronto? Where were you before Toronto? That kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's cool. I always assume that people can read my mind sometimes, you know, it's just because I just, everything is just so present for me.
Right. Yeah.
I've also been doing a lot of talking about myself, which I find annoying, but I guess it's the only way, because, you know, I have this record and people want to know more about me.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, I'm very simple, you know, I'm not a very complicated person, and I was born in Toronto in 92. Mm-hmm. My parents are both Portuguese, and then in 94 they decided to go back to Portugal, so I was a baby. I have no recollection of Toronto then. Mm-hmm. And I grew up all the way to 21 without, you know, being connected to Toronto, like, physically. So I visited once as a teenager because my parents wanted to show us, both me and my sister, where we were born and where they lived and where they started their, you know, newly married life. Mm-hmm. And that was wonderful, but it was like, I was like, I will never live here. At the time I was like, I'm Portuguese, you know, like, I love where I live. And then 3 years later, I ended up moving to Toronto, which is, it was just based on why not? It was my parents gave me that question. I graduated from university in Lisbon. I did a bachelor degree in design. And after, I was a bit like lost, and I was like, I'm not ready to continue, you know, academia. Like, I don't know if I want to be a, you know, have a master's in whatever. I love so many different things. I just like, I feel like I need to start working to understand. Mm. And music has always been a passion too. So I just wanted to allow myself more time. So I had that big question, like, where do I go? And then my parents were like, you can always go to Toronto. You have dual citizenship.
Right.
You know, they don't talk like that, but you know, that's that wise kind of father, right? And
so you have dual citizenship. But that's still pretty remarkable that your city of your birth is something of a homing beacon, because you could have lived anywhere in Canada. You chose Toronto. I can't help but wonder if the family lineage sort of idea here is important to you. The notion like, well, my parents came here and I was born here. That means I need to go back there to figure out what their lives were like, to kind of, not to retrace their steps deliberately, but it just in a way, kind of. You know, like, you were kind of, by blood, you were drawn to that city and to maybe experience the same things that maybe your parents did. Does that make sense?
No, it does, 100%. I feel like, you know, although I didn't grow up speaking English or really visiting Toronto, like, regularly, you know, a very big part of the foundation of our family, my parents, me and my sister, is this idea of Canada, and that they started their life as, you know, as, you know, two immigrants. And, you know, and there is this like heritage of immigration in my family too, like on either side of the family. And my dad grew up in France, and my grandparents still alive, and they still live just 2 hours south of Paris. And I have two aunts and uncle. I have a hard time saying uncle. I often say ankle.
I didn't mean to laugh, but that, you said it perfectly. When you make, it's always funny when someone says, I have trouble saying the word, and they say it exactly perfectly. And then they say, I usually say this. I did it the other day, actually. So sorry. Anyway, your English is fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
But
yeah, and so yeah, so my dad grew up in France. My mom grew up in Mozambique, and I don't have either of my grandparents on that side of the family anymore. But they, you know, I grew up with my grandma a lot in Portugal, and so there's this, like, you know, there's this story, all these stories of people trying to find, you know, a better life and setting roots somewhere else in the family. And I think, For me, moving here was not even complicated. It was just like, oh yeah, we do this. Like, this is totally fine, and I had all the support in doing so. And
So you went to you mentioned that you graduated from the University of Lisbon. Whereabouts did you actually grow up in Portugal?
I grew up in a small town, 40 minutes north of Lisbon, and like a 10-minute drive to the ocean, like to the beach.
Ah, the ocean. My home. So this, yeah. This, I wanted to get to this because you end up in Newfoundland, and there are some, I believe, and I know some of it is kind of fraught, but I think there's some connections between Portugal and Newfoundland. It is, you know, you're on the ocean. There's a lot of, I don't know, one of the primary economies has to do with sort of whatever, fisheries, I guess. Like there's some, mm-hmm. do you feel like connected mm-hmm. to Newfoundland in terms of your heritage from Portugal?
I mean, I feel connected to Newfoundland because of a lot of things, mostly because of its geography and how the city is organized and the way people are here. Mm-hmm. Of course, I do feel like people are like very excited about Portuguese, you know, because of that connection of, you know, before the court moratorium happened, you know, the Portuguese and the Spanish and were fishing in the Grand Banks of, yeah. of Newfoundland and of Canada. And so there is that connection. And I have always heard since I moved here, these stories of like the Portuguese sailors playing soccer in the wharf, and the soccer ball would go in the water and they had no trouble and to just jump in, and you know, and there's like, you know, Portuguese looking people, whatever that means, but there's like olive skin around Newfoundland, and yes. I don't know, like I feel like some people look more Portuguese than I do because I'm such fair skin and I'm taller, I look more like Dutch or Danish or German, you know, then I look Portuguese. Mm-hmm. But again, that's just, you know, I mean, I do feel connected to this place here because, yeah, it's just, it lives by the ocean and from the ocean a lot. And there's the heritage that I connect with and the slower pace. And I don't know, I just love the fact that it's an island and there's this, people are, there's this sympathy and this empathy. Like people yeah. are very willing to, you know, have you over and help and but there's also privacy. It's just like it's a good balance of a lot of things. I feel way more connected to people here than I did in Toronto, and just because people are so much busier in the big city and, you know, we might be a couple, you know, neighborhoods apart, and it's a big ordeal to get together in Toronto sometimes because of the fast pace. And that's, I think, what kind of made me a bit tired of, because I love I love like not needing to like text a friend to pop by. I like to like knock at the door, and if you answer, you answer. If you don't, you don't. And I feel like I hear that happens. Like in Portugal, we have this thing. Actually, growing up, it's like Sunday specifically. If you keep your shutters closed, it's like people don't really bother you. Mm-hmm. But if you have them open on Sunday, often people visit each other. They go for drives or for walks, and they, it's like, oh yeah, the windows are open, let's just see what they have to say, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I feel like here it's more like that, you know, if people, you can tell that there's activity in the house, or you can tell that people are, you know, wanting to hang out.
Yeah.
Or not, you know, but there's the yeah. option, at least. You don't need to, like, give them a call before.
So it's a bit more social and friendly and a little less formal. I appreciate that. That's good. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think of Newfoundland as a particularly friendly place in this country, in my experience. I mean, I've only spent yeah. weeks at a time there, but I always, and it's usually my main experience, and my only experience actually going to that that place is for a music festival. So everyone's in a pretty good mood. There's celebratory excitement in the air, I think, but that's been my experience. Growing up in Portugal, well, actually, before we get to that, did you find you had access points in Toronto to the music community? Were you able to play music as freely as you currently are in Newfoundland?
I mean, I feel like Toronto kind of like opened this like industry to me, let's say, like, you know, music can be your pursuit, like for real. And I don't have a background like that in my family. Like I don't come from a family that pursued arts as like their primary, you know, source of income or their primary like pursuit. Although my mom is very artistic and she paints and, you know, she can just, you know, do her own thing. We spent a lot of time growing up painting together, but you know, she just knows her formula and she still does her other things. But I don't know. There was never a, like, you want to be a musician? Okay. This is how you do it. Like, mm-hmm. I never had like someone showing me that. And I feel like in Portugal, the industry was like small, and although I did have a cover band before I moved to Canada, from like a teenage time until like I did make some money, you know, to pay for my Interrail tickets at the end of the summer or something. But I was just, you know, doing it, playing covers, singing in English, learning English, and it was just a hobby. It was never like oh, I'm going to like get, you know, get closer to myself and figure out what is this that I have to say. I always felt that I had something that I wanted to explore, but I never really had. I feel like things aligned when I moved to Toronto, and the scene. I remember specifically going to Hollyhoke, that doesn't exist anymore, and on Bloor Street, and they had shows there. That sometimes we would go for a coffee, and then the venue would, in an hour, would turn completely into something completely different.
Yeah.
And they had a band set up, and there's a couple bands from, you know, 2014 to 2017 that, you know, I saw them growing. I saw them, you know, I remember seeing Charlotte Cornfield. Mm-hmm. I remember this band called Father Christmas that is based in Hamilton now. Like, I remember the Hollyhoke singers, like Luca, the band Luca, mm-hmm. and seeing Bernice. I don't know, there's just like, there was certain pockets of the city that I could go and see live music, and it was not just like an open mic and you know, people playing covers. It was just like, oh, this is original. People are actually expressing their visions and their you know, their minds and their hearts, and I really was like, wow, this is possible. And yeah. It was very inspiring, you know. I didn't experience that back in Portugal so much, but I think it has to do with, you know, where I was growing up, you know, in timing, you know. It was just like at 2018 I was busy, you know, thinking of what kind of design projects I was doing for university, and
yeah,
I don't know, you know, it's just it just all aligned to a certain point.
Yeah.
But I think Toronto was like very important for what's happening now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I want to just ask you about those covers for a moment, though. You mentioned that in Portugal, were you in a cover band per se, or is it just more like, were you doing regular gigs?
Yes, we were doing, well, mostly in the summer. We even had, like, it was just me and my friend Rita, and we had sometimes Yuri, who's like this beautiful percussionist, and he would join us sometimes. We had different iterations of the band, but mostly it was me and my friend Rita, and we would we had like, sometimes we would play for 4 hours, and we would just, you know, make €100 each or something.
Right.
And then we would be, I don't know, happy teenagers driving my dad's little car.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just a fun time, and it was mostly by the water. It was like beach bar kind of vibe, and you know, we would cover Nina Simone and Amy Winehouse and the Beatles, and it was like kind of some Portuguese as well, but mostly it was English for some reason.
Well, one of the reasons I ask is because in my late 20s, early 30s, I was playing in a lot of bands, original bands, and it came up that someone asked me to organize a cover band out of like different musicians for an event. And then we picked all the songs, and then gradually that band caught on enough that it became a regular thing where we would get asked to play weddings and other events. And it was meant to be a lark. Like, it was meant to be just for fun and a one-off, and then it took on a life of its own. And that ended up, actually, we earned more money from that than our original bands, if I may. But the weird thing that I noticed, if I think on it, is we started out picking all the songs, and then as we got hired, we wound up doing songs we didn't necessarily choose, in some cases mm-hmm. necessarily want to do even. And mm-hmm. it began to cater to the audience and the client, I guess. It just got a little less fun. So I guess what I'm asking really is, it sounds like you mentioned Nina Simone and the Beatles and some other people. You were picking those songs. Did you ever find yourself having to play songs that you didn't pick or didn't necessarily like in that band?
I don't think so. I think we only picked songs that we really liked. Hmm. And there was not a lot of people doing that, or at least like two young, you know, women. I feel like most of the cover bands that were around were just like guys. You know, yeah. It was just like a very, very male dominant at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, still today. But I felt like, you know, the people were just like, oh, these, yeah, like, let's do this. Like, let's get these girls, I guess, to come and play. And we did some weddings, and sometimes people would have some requests, but
yeah.
We didn't do that much of that. We were pretty laid back, and we had this cool thing going on with this like area in the west of Portugal with like all these beaches, and there's a lot of, you know, the surfing community is big, and
yeah.
There's a lot of people traveling, and there was like a lot of hostels at the time.
Yeah.
And so we were fine.
I guess I ask because as much as those songs that we didn't choose weren't fun, often they're the ones that taught me the most about music, because I would never have thought to even think about some of the requests or suggestions in my life, and then you have to learn them, and sometimes they have a certain level of sophistication, I suppose is the word. It just made me play. Up until that point, I was just playing the way I played. I'm primarily a drummer, so I would just play and invent the rhythms that made sense to me mm-hmm. for a song. But having to learn other people's songs, I think, actually does, in a weird way, really teach you about the full scope of music. So that's why I'm curious about your cover. I don't mean to dwell on it too much, but
I think it's good. I feel like you're asking it, you know, I understand why you're asking. I wonder, like, would you have any idea of like those songs for you? Like, is there one that you remember that was like, oh, this song, I don't really want to play it, but
we ended up a lot. At one point we started, someone asked us to learn that Journey song, Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
And that became we all were derisive of that band and that song, but anytime we played it at a wedding or an event, people lost their minds. There's a spirit and a feeling to it, and then rhythmically, drumming wise, it's not uninteresting. Like, it's actually, they're interesting parts. Like, for me, on some level, there was a dynamic aspect to it. Or When Doves Cry by Prince mm-hmm. Was one where I like Prince, but I didn't ever think I'd be playing that song. That has an interesting rhythmic pattern. And I'm sorry, I'm mostly talking. I mean, we used to do an AC/DC medley, and it was my favorite thing.
Oh, except that's so sweet.
Our singer, we did It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll into Thunderstruck. And eventually, one of the guys who sang it was like, I can't do this. It shreds my voice. I can't.
Wow.
Sing like those two guys. Anyway, but I enjoyed aspects of it. I really did.
Yeah. I'm thinking what, like, what
Magic
are the songs?
Magic Man by Heart. Do you know that song? The Heart song, Magic Man?
Okay. I don't know Heart very well. I should get into Heart.
I think there's a lot of... People do tend to like Heart. We take them for granted, maybe, but that song is sort of progressive rock in its own way. What I'm getting at is some of these hit songs that I was like, you don't think, you take them for granted. Some of the parts are actually quite interesting, like if you actually have to play them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not really a cover band person, but as a musician, it's a challenge. Like, okay, we have to learn
a
hit. Yeah. So that's, I assume you felt the challenge, but also the fulfillment of like, wow, we pulled it off. Every time you play a cover and it works out, did you feel good?
Yeah. I mean, I did. I feel like, you know, at the time I was just a singer. You know, and I feel like I'm primarily a singer now too.
Yeah.
You know, I only started playing guitar when I moved to Toronto. So the cover part for me, like, I always learned songs just by singing them and, you know, and being in the band. But I remember there was this one song that I kind of was bummed. It was Sarah Vaughan with Lullaby of Birdland. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was like so hard. I was like, it took me forever to learn how to sing that song. And I can still do it. Like, I still remember it. And I and I remember at the time how like I would roll my eyes. Just like, oh yeah, here we go. Sing that song. But now I just feel like, you know, songs like that really kind of, they became like a big part of who I was. You know, there's a Jeff Buckley song, The Last Kiss Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Like, it was hard to learn to sing that song, but I remember, I don't know, like there's like little moments in your like teenage time being in a cover band, or at least for me, that, you know, really made me who I am today.
Absolutely.
Like, you're talking about this now is like making me like kind of like go back in time. It's just like these are like really ingrained, you know. If you had to soak someone in something, this would be like the juice I would be soaking in, you know. These are the songs.
It's so funny you said something, because in the last few years I will say I'm a tremendous fan of the Beatles. But yeah. I never learned a lot of their songs. And in recent years, I've been playing, I think because of the pandemic, I've been playing more guitar. And I can feel myself finally in my 40s improving on an instrument that I have always found a little out of reach. I'm starting to learn more how to do it. And I learned the song Something. And I think sometimes, for those who don't know, I don't know what the name or what the terminology is, but Harrison does a thing on that song where he's playing like the progression could just be the same chord, but you're taking away a string, like you're taking away a note, and that's the second chord is, it's a C, it starts with a C and then it goes to like, I don't know all the names, like a C sus or a C7 or whatever the hell, and you're like, oh my god, he's just playing in the family of chords over and over again. He does it with C's and D, and the D does the same thing where it's like a D and then a D something or other. Again, I'm still trying to figure this stuff out. My point is, the other thing with covers is, for me, and sometimes, you know, I sing to my daughter at night with a guitar, and sometimes she has requests. She'll have heard a song, and then I have to go and figure out how to play it. And I learn about chords and possibilities on an instrument by learning cover songs. Like, oh, some of us who play guitar, we know all the open chords, and you get to know where the same chords are on the neck, you know, with a bar chord or whatever. But yeah, just like, oh, you just take a finger away and you've got a whole other chord there, and it's the same.
And it's a completely different, yeah.
That's fascinating to me, and I know people listening who know music are going to be like, yeah, that's obvious, Vish. But I'm saying, sometimes learning other people's songs is a real window into an instrument. Window into like, oh, that's all they're doing. They're just putting a finger here and there and taking it away sometimes and then bringing it back. Oh, that's the whole song. Like, it really kind of humanizes music, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And and I feel like, you know, you're saying all this. I feel like I'm very young when it comes to like guitar playing. I still like am, you know, a green banana when it comes to guitar playing. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the fact that I was just like brave enough to, you know, pick it up and just like, I just learn it on my own is just by what I, you know, discovering chords, like some of the chords that people say, like they are sophisticated in the record. A lot of that, it was just like, I was just trying and feeling it. I was just like, you know, very private with the guitar and very intimate with the guitar. And I feel like that even the way I, you know, I waltz, the way I like strum it, like all of that was not completely intentional. It was just like a result of like, you know, where my mind was and how my body wanted to express in the guitar. And I had a couple pointers at the time from friends. And of course, like, I feel like now having the record, this record out and having this, I'm like more like, oh, this is a thing that I do. It's been interesting in the past, you know, 5 years to like solidify like, oh, this is how I work.
Yeah.
Like, this is how I feel the most excited about, you know, playing and writing songs with. that playing. You know, and it doesn't need to be like completely, you know, set in stone. Like, I really want to try new things too. And I guess that's what now I'm like, oh, I want to learn more chords, you know, like I'm ready. Yeah. And I have the right partner for that now too in crime, because, you know, band members and people that are part of the project, everyone's like excited to just like keep writing songs, and I love it.
Yeah, one of the running themes in the conversations I've had on this show with people who I compliment about their musicianship or their songwriting, one of the running themes is that I might say, like, how do you do this? Like, how can you be so great at this? Like, how does it feel to be great at this? And almost everyone says, well, first of all, I'm always learning. I'm never not done learning. There's always something about picking up a guitar. Again, I'm talking to people who just seem to know the instrument inside and out, and they say, well, no. Yeah. I mean, every time I start playing, I'm learning something new about it. And that, to me, is a really hopeful, and you know, you can romanticize this stuff, but I do think that's true of music. Like, it's fascinating what is something you can be playing guitar for 4 hours, and you might be playing the same progression for 3 of those hours, and then abandon it. You might just be like, you know what? I thought this was good, and as I play it, I don't care anymore. And then the thing you do in the next hour, that's on your album. Like, the thing you just spent the least time on, it's just a weird thing. Like, you just don't, I don't know if you're...
It is a weird thing, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to stick or what's good, and it just sort of happens. Has that been your experience?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I sat with a guitar and I was going through some like emotional time because I just moved to Canada and I was feeling a bit lonely. I had left like this like cool music scene, you know, cover band friends and like other bands. I don't know. It was just like I was leaving a lot behind.
Yeah.
And then like I'm like alone in this big city, and I feel like I started writing because I was like, I want to still do this and I want to be able to do it on my own. And then being inspired by what the city had to offer, I was like, I think I can do it. I can, you know, when you go to a show and you feel so inspired and you can't even understand why.
Yeah.
You just like have this like pull inside of you. Just like, I know that I can do this, like that this is what I'm meant to be doing, at least for whatever time. And so I felt that a lot, and I felt that I had to pursue and to discover it. So
yeah.
I feel like these songs, this record, and even the first EP, they're really the first songs I've ever written. They're like, I don't have that many more. And the ones that I have, they are probably going to be in the next record, and it's exciting. I'm very precious about it too. Like, but it has been different. Like, every process has been so different. Like,
yeah.
I had this late, like not that long ago, I've experienced the committing, like, and thinking like, I'm going to write a song from beginning to end today. And I actually did it. And it was kind of like I had never experienced that before.
Yeah.
So again, green banana, you know? I'm still a little kid.
Well,
12-year-old.
I think you're ripening quickly, if I may. I feel like there's a lot of sophistication, for lack of a better term. You seem, here's what I'll say about this record. You really seem like you know what you're doing. I don't want to put too much on you. But I feel like you've really come into your own. I appreciate that it feels like a learning process for you. It's a beautiful album, and I wonder if we can talk a little bit about what inspired some of these songs. I do pick up on romantic themes, mm-hmm. but I pick up on familial themes. Mm-hmm. I also pick up on, I think maybe contextually, because I know... Now, no, particularly after this conversation, a bit more about your trajectory. This feeling of, I don't know how to phrase it other than someone who's pondering what it means to live in a place and have a place, have a home, have a beacon that they mm-hmm. can count on. So I feel like, if I may sum up, like what I pick up on is, like I say, those romantic notions of interpersonal relationships, the connection to family, and then a connection to a place and a time. I know that some of what I'm saying might be generically applied to almost every kind of songwriting, but is that is any of that swimming around on this record for you in particular?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the songs are very true to experiences that I had. They're very like close to, you know, relationships or family relationships, not just romantic, like, you know, because romance can be so many different things.
You can have a romantic relationship with your friend. You can romanticize friendship on some
level. Yes, 100%. And time is it's about that. Like time, the song Time is about a friendship. But it still feels like kind of a romantic song.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I'm a very hopeful and optimistic person. And I feel like that really came out in these songs. Some of the, you know, some of the lines and some of the topics are actually quite heavy, you know, not heavy, but like they are intense. There's like intensity in it as well. But I'm not shy about it. I feel like the way I grew up was, you know, in a very open, you know, community. And like we weren't hidden from like grief and from, you know, from like the good and the bad. Yeah. Like my grandma dressed in black and she grieved my grandfather since I remember her. And, you know, she had no problems in like crying about it in front of me. And, you know, and I just feel like I've been around, I feel like it may be a bit different here. I feel like some of my friends in the culture in Canada have been a bit more protected. And I'm generalizing,
sure,
but there is definitely like that's people find it. I don't know. My friends at least find it kind of refreshing to hang out with me. You know, this is funny to say. I've never said it that way, but I've been told this, that I'm like very open to like express whatever it is that I'm feeling, and I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes there is fear here, and so I don't know. It's interesting that people are enjoying the record. I feel like they can probably feel like kind of held in some way that, you know, it's okay to feel these ways, you know?
Absolutely. And I do think your life, the way you've lived, I think probably gives you a perspective on human behavior and people that not everyone the fact that you've lived in Portugal, in Toronto, in St. John's. What I pick up on from some of your songs is that I imagine you see universality. You see commonality between the people that maybe we've really lost that these days. We talk a lot about how disconnected and fractured we are. Then, for those who haven't heard the record yet, there's this song, Amor, 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 which is beautiful. And how many languages are represented on that song, would you say, Nico?
Well, Portuguese, French, English, kind of, you know, the three languages of my life, of me growing up. Lots of summers spent in French with a lot of French around, with my family visiting from France or me visiting them in France. Portuguese, of course, my first, you know, language, and then English. And I don't know, that song is kind of like a celebration of, you know, this immigrating, you know, this celebration of people finding something better elsewhere and wanting to find something better and still connecting to you know, to their roots, going back. I don't know, it's kind of like it's there's tense, it repeats too, like it's the same lyrics, the first three verses, just sang in different languages, because I wanted to kind of like, you know, I wanted everyone in my family to understand it. I was like, okay, I'm going to sing in Portuguese so my Portuguese family can hear those words, and then I'll do it in French. I actually called my dad and I was like, can you help me translate this first verse in French? And then he's a mechanic, he works Autosonic, which is like Dundas and Dovercourt in Toronto. My parents came back to Canada, by the way.
Okay, after great.
I was here for a couple of years, so they are there.
Nice.
And they kind of go back and forth, Portugal and Canada now. But anyhow, this to say, I called my dad. I was like, "Can you please translate this? Help me translate this. Is this correct? Is it not?" And you know, it was funny because he was like, changing the oil in this car. I don't know. I could hear him work and I could hear him work, but he was there with me and he was excited about it. And then the English. But again, I just wanted to kind of like, this is kind of like a gift, right? I wanted to gift this song to my past, my family and that's why it came. And then there's this kind of more celebratory, like the song is kind of divided into sections. The second section is more, I don't know, I imagine people dancing. I imagine these like big butts moving, you know.
it's beautiful because, as you say, the verse, so it begins with a Portuguese verse, then a French, then an English, then the second half of the song follows the same order, but they're the same lyrics. So
same lyrics.
It's a really beautiful, inclusive idea of love.
Thank you.
And I think I think what I'm getting at is, what I pick up on here is, love is also multifaceted. It's not just about a breakup and a relationship. Love is about loving the ocean. Love is about loving the city you're in. Love is about loving people as both platonically and romantically. And I mean, again, these are things we probably all recognize, but I think we take them for granted, that love is this.
We do.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah. And I just want to say, like, for a younger person, like, that's an amazing perspective to have on what has become a notion that we either, like I say, take for granted or make a cliche. I think you, on this record, remind us what love is all about, if I may. I know that sounds big.
Aww.
Does that make sense?
It does. That's so sweet of you. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it comes through, because for all the hugging and kissing and dancing and whatnot on this record, I mean, those are all expressions of love. The word love comes up almost on every song. Like, it's really a fundamental aspect of this. And like I say, I think you've taken it beyond Hallmark cards and schmaltzy movies. Like, I think you're really dialing into it as a foundational aspect of the human condition. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, good. Well,
I love that you're saying all of these things.
Well, it's like I say, for a young songwriter to dial into this in such a profound way, I'm just very impressed. And I hope you recognize that this is why people are finding your music so important to them, why it's resonating.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
It kind of blows my mind, you know. It still blows my mind.
It blows your mind that you could come up with these ideas and that they would, you know, affect people?
I feel very, like, flattered recently. Like, I've been very teary-eyed. Like, when I hear people, you know, approach me and talk about, or sending me text messages or emails, or I just feel very moved by it all. It's overwhelming, actually. It's been interesting after I released a record, because I had a very different idea of what this was going to be like. Mm. And now I just feel like people are really connecting to something, and they want to tell me about it. It's just like, I don't know, I was just, you know, making a record and pursuing my art and making things that I love. And it seems kind of, like mind-blowing that, you know, I was nominated for the Polaris, and all of this stuff is just like, you know, and you want to talk to me like other people do too. I don't know. Maybe I did something right there. I don't know.
Well, it's the songwriting itself is getting to me and affecting me, but I think it's also the way your voice works. I mean, that's a mm-hmm. that's something you were given, and that's a talent you've honed. But it's the combination, like all music that affects us. It's the combination of how it's delivered and what is being said, and you know, that's what's really resonating with me about your record and your work. So all I'm getting at is, don't be surprised that people are happy about it and complimenting you about it. I think there's nothing else they could say. It is really, really, really great. And I want to congratulate you on this. And I hope we've... Is there anything more you want to say about the record? I know I've led us into lines of questioning here, but is there anything that we didn't get to, or that you've learned about it as you've talked to people? That, you know, you just said some of the things I said are... blowing your mind or whatever, but is there anything about the record that you want to convey to people that we haven't got to today?
No, I mean, I feel like whoever is listening, they might, if they don't know the record, they might be like, oh, I would like to listen to this. So, you know, if you feel the instinct, just go give it a listen. and then let me know what you think of it after, if you may. But please don't do it on Instagram, because I just find it so dragging. I just can't stress this enough. You know, yeah. It's like a job. And I don't really like it. You know, it's like, it feels like work. And things get lost in information. And I just, it's hard to reply to people all the time. And I don't know. Not to drag this down, but just email me is better.
As you and I are speaking, Instagram just vented a new thing like yesterday called Threads. And it's already...
What is it?
It's their version of Twitter.
Okay.
And if you say you're going to do it, you're trapped. Like, you can't delete it, or you delete your Instagram. It's very annoying, apparently. I haven't explored all this. I just turned all the notifications off because I don't intend to use it. But I, these days, Nico, I just sign on to things so that I can make sure that if I need them.
Yeah.
My name, like, I have the name I want, and it's under my name because there's all these... My name is very common in India in particular. Like, it's a common name. First and last name is very common. So anyway, that's why I did it. And now I'm stuck with it. Anyway, you're right to think it's a drag. I don't want to end this on a sour note.
No, of course not.
I do think it's a bit of a drag. Anyway, on to brighter things. You're on tour right now as we're speaking.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your future plans and how long this tour is, and whether or not you're working on new music already? Can you speak to those things?
Yeah. Maybe I'll go with the last question. If I'm working on new music already, because I'm always working on something. There's a couple songs that I've been playing enough that I feel like they are going to be songs. Like melodies or like little guitar parts. So yeah, I'm definitely working on stuff, and what that would look like and when they will be recorded. I don't know. There's not a lot of pressure. Like, I feel very grateful that I joined Ford Music Group, and Kyle, like, just shout out here for them, because Kyle has been amazing. You probably know Kyle Kunjak. You do?
Of course. Yep.
Yeah.
I do. Yes, and I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a... Yeah, he's the best. And, you know, it's been wonderful. They put absolute no pressure to, you know, feed, you know, the public or feed the industry. Is just like my own pace, my own time, and just enough support, and so I just feel like I have time to marinate with new stuff, which is a good thing. And then next question is touring. I'm playing Cornerbrook tomorrow, which is at the other end, west end, the west side of Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And then we're taking the ferry. Right now is just me and Adam Hogan in the car. And then we have Catherine Allen from a band, Fortunate Ones. She's joining us for a three-piece for some of the shows in this tour. And then we'll have a full band for Sappy Fest and for a couple other shows.
Oh, nice.
With Josh Van Tassel, one of the producers of the record, and with Kyle Kunjak, the bass, original bass player in the record as well.
Nice.
So that's exciting. But yeah, we're going all the way to London, Ontario. We're playing Guelph, in Hillside Festival in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
We play Toronto, the Baby G, and a couple shows through the Maritimes. There's a whole list of things, but I'm excited.
Full summer.
This is a kind of
full summer.
Full summer. And then come back to the island and be here for a little bit, play a couple other shows. And then I'm going to Portugal in the fall. And I'm very excited about that.
Are you going to play or just to visit?
Both.
Oh, awesome. Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both. I have, I haven't really toured all that much in Portugal since I started this like solo Nico Paulo thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to start doing that, because it's a place that I will always want to go back to, because my sister lives there. She has three kids, and they are the most adorable nephews in the world. Twins, two little twins, and then my nephew Arthur. And it's just, I don't know, it's just like I just really want to be part of their lives, and I'm just excited to do that.
Oh, that's yeah. Congratulations.
I love hanging out. I love hanging out with like younger, like with kids too. I find myself still kind of a kid, and I find it easier to hang out with kids.
Yep.
And I don't know, I feel very present when I hang out with them, and I don't know, if life is just a mystery again, and there's all these things to discover, and I love that.
Yeah,
and
no,
I have access to that, you know?
It is fun. I have two kids of my own, and as a parent, you end up being like a kid again just to see things from their perspective. No, it's fun. I appreciate that. And congratulations. That's great that you can... Man, you're going to probably be very proud to be in Portugal and to play. That's going to be... I imagine that'll be an emotional and exciting thing for you to do. That's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both. How old are your kids? Like, are your kids young?
One of them is almost 12, and the other one... is I want to say eight years old.
And 12.
It's
those
fun
ages.
No, it's fun. It's really fun. And my son and I play basketball together a lot, and I am starting to worry that my son is my only friend, like real life friend. Well, I don't know, we moved here and I don't know a ton of people, and I don't know who to ask to play basketball, and I'll figure it out. But I'm also like 45, so it's like, hey, can you come out and play basketball? Like, I feel like an idiot. So it's kind of fun to just play with my son and his friends sometimes. But I also, like, it doesn't make any sense. I'm 6'2". They're all like, 4 feet tall. But I don't go hard. It's just fun. I think it's, anyway, I don't want to get into it. It's fun.
Are you planning to stay over there? Like, will you move back to... You're from Guelph originally,
right? Yeah, that's right. I'm from Ontario. No plans to leave at this point. But you never know. I mean, we moved here, so you never know. No, I'm planning to stay. We're here. We're here. Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know where there is a good place to live right now, because politically everything's weird in Canada.
Yeah,
every place.
Fires
and
as well.
And then, yeah, climate-wise, when we had the smoke here this summer before... my Ontario friends and family, so they were checking in, and I think they were
close.
They were checking in to be like, well, I could just pick up, like, well, you're in Alberta, so it must be bad because of the smoke. Now they all have it, and they're like, what the hell? We have it now too. And I never, in my whatever how many years I was, 40 years in Ontario, we never had air quality wildfire smoke warnings. So everything seems bad. Everywhere seems like not great, I guess is what I'm saying. You just make the best of it. And luckily, we have great art like Nico Paolo's albums and things like that. And that gets us through. And hopefully for people listening to this, conversations like this help you feel like there's positivity.
A little
that's
lighter.
What I hope.
Yeah, a little
lighter. Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate all of your updates and information. If we mentioned that you don't love receiving messages on Instagram, that's fair. If people want to learn more about you and keep track of your work and stuff like that, where would you want to send them, if anywhere, on the internet?
I mean, you can still go on Instagram, but just don't message me. there's a website. There's a nicopaolo.com kind of website with like tour dates and video links, and you can subscribe to all the things that you need to follow what I'm doing. But it's not that hard, is it, to keep track of people these days?
It isn't, but I like asking. I sometimes this is obvious at the end. People say, well, the usual things, but every once in a while someone will say something like you. Like, it's hard to keep up with the messages on Instagram, so sorry that I can't. I have the same thing where I'm like, I go into the ones where the I'll notice there's like 14 messages from people that I don't follow or follow me even. They just picked up on something. Instagram's weird. They're all weird. Like, it's hard. I wish they were just like, maybe it's my notifications. This is more about me and my telephone. I'm sorry. I'll figure it out and be more accessible. My point here, though, is thank you for that information. If we can go out on a song from your new self-titled album, I wonder if you can pick one for us and maybe explain why it came to mind.
One that came to mind. Maybe Lock Me Inside.
Lock Me Inside. Okay, that's the second side of the record. Why did that one come
second
to mind?
Side of Because I'm inside of a car, maybe. I don't know. I feel like...
It's very literal.
I feel like... I feel like it's it came to mind because of the yurts.
Okay.
Because the second half of that song, I finished writing it after a silent retreat I did here in Newfoundland.
Oh.
And I am in a completely different place now, but this reminds me of that other grounds where I did the retreat.
Mm.
And I was just looking at these big aspen trees, and I was just thinking, placing myself back there. So yeah, that song, I guess it's what came to mind.
That's a great choice. You mentioned trees. Back to the Portugal-Newfoundland connection. There's lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of water on your record, I feel like. Water.
Yeah.
This song has rivers and seas and just feel the cold water and clear. This time I'm going to just feel the water. You have a water connection, obviously. Given
yes,
your, yeah.
I think I do.
Yeah.
I think I do too.
Yeah.
I feel like I grew up swimming, you know. I competed when I was a teenager.
Oh wow. Okay.
So I do love swimming, but I gave up that early. I was like, I'm not going to start practicing 7 a.m. and then 7 p.m. It was like too much.
Yeah.
And I was like I had to take a train to go to high school because I did arts in high school. In Portugal, things were different. There was no arts class opening in my little hometown. Mm. So I had to take a train to go to this bigger city. And so I didn't really have a lot of time for other things. And I really wanted to go to that high school and be cool, you know, with all the art kids.
Fair enough. No, that's fascinating. Are you familiar with the artist Julie Duaron?
I am, just by name. I have a couple of friends that have told me, like my friend Matt Horseman, photographer and writer from Halifax. He's pointed me to that direction, but why do you ask?
Well, first of all, listening to your record, every once in a while I'm reminded of Julie. Julie will often sometimes sing in French as well. And there's something about the timbre of your voices that is similar. But the main reason I bring it up now is Julie is an avid swimmer. And and also, like, to the point, and I don't want to get this wrong, forgive me, Julie, but I think she's become a swim instructor. And also, potentially, this is where I feel like that's accurate, and maybe I'm wrong. Someone who knows can tell me. But potentially, like, lifeguard level swim, like, just a very strong swimmer, and she swims avidly. So now I'm like, uh-oh, Nico and Julie need to meet. I feel like you have a lot
I would love to.
Aesthetically, you have things in common, and now with the water... I'm telling you, there's something to this. So if you can, spend some time with her music. Maybe you'll see some connections. But
I will. Yeah. I love this. I love tips like this.
Okay. All right. She's a hero and a friend of mine, someone I've admired most of my life. So I love her music so much. So I think you might enjoy it too. In any case.
Where in the world?
She's in Sackville, New Brunswick.
Okay, so I'll probably meet her at Sappy Fest this year.
Absolutely, it's named after her. She had a record label called Sappy Records, and then they started her and some friends started this festival as not thinking it would be an annual thing. I don't think, and then now it's been going for a long, long time. So Sappy is.
Are you going to come?
Not this year, but I have made treks when we were in Ontario. We would drive down until we had children. And then the last time we were there, finally made our triumphant return in 2019. And then, of course, it hadn't really occurred for a couple of years and haven't been back since then. And obviously, it'll be harder. Anyway, the answer to your question for this year is no, but I wish. I will be at Hillside, though, in Guelph. So I'll see
you. Oh, you will?
I'll see you there. Yeah.
Okay, so I look for a 6'3".
6'2", brown man. I'll be the only 6'2" brown man at Hillside. I guarantee it. No, I'm just kidding.
Your kids be there too?
Yeah. We're all gonna try to make it.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, I love this. This is great.
Yeah. Okay. Great. It'll be fun. Yeah, I can't wait to see
Looking forward
all right.
to it. Yes.
This is me too. This is Lock Me Inside by Nico Paolo. Nico, thank you so much for spending time with me. It was really special for me and an honor. So thank you and best luck with Polaris and everything else, your road trips there, your traveling, and I hope we talk again soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Lock me inside. I'm tired of being lonely. The more that I try, the more I get the feeling it's time. It's time I go down. Arrest me to my own mind. The more that I try, the more I get this feeling.
Should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh,
Well, that was fun for me. I hope it was fun for Nico Paolo. Nico, thank you so much for appearing on this, the 792nd episode of Creative Control. For everyone else, for your information, this show is part of the Entertainment One Podcast Network and is available wherever it is you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit vishkana.com. You can currently like Creative Control on Facebook or currently follow the show on Twitter, which apparently has a new name, at Vish Creative, or you can follow me directly on Twitter and Instagram, at Vish Khanna. We're not calling it X, are we? You and me? We're not going to do that. Also, please visit my Patreon, patreon.com/creativecontrol, to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast a-going. $6 American or more grants you access to exclusive content. You get episodes earlier than everybody else. And as usual, if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt as a little, show of gratitude from me, just message me on Patreon with your size preference and design preference. I got the burgundy or maroon. I never know the difference. And yellow, there's that one. And still have some sizes left in those. So happy to send you one if you send me a note on Patreon after you've made your support known, that kind of thing. Thank you. Thank you for considering doing that. And again, learn more at patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to the wonderful Alberta record store, Blackbird Music. They've got locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, but you can learn more about them and order records directly to your house there. They'll ship them to you at their website. You can learn more at their website, blackbird.ca. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton for their in-kind support for this show. You can learn more about those places. I use the hyperlinks in the show notes. You click on those, and you can learn more about those places. Also want to thank Jim Guthrie for letting me use music he makes on the show. Sometimes I use it. And you can learn more about him at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you for you right now listening. Thank you for listening to this episode with Nico Paolo. I hope you enjoyed it and learned about Nico, and we'll consider checking out her music and also subscribing to this podcast or following it and letting your friends know that they should maybe do the same things. That helps spread the word about the show and find new people, and I like doing that. So thanks for all your efforts in supporting Creative Control. I must leave you now, but I will talk to you very soon. I hope you're well. Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.